Oh, yes, it's here. The sights and the lights and the fights of Christmas. No doubt, as you've been preparing for what's to come for you and your family, you've been seeing all the different sights. Evergreen trees decorated inside and outside of homes. Stable scenes. One of my favorite things to do at Christmas is to take out the nativity scenes and set them up in our home. Last night, as I was driving along one street that was fairly well decorated with all these various sights, they had an inflatable nativity scene. It's quite interesting. Some of the other sights that you see, I don't know whether you own any of these, but the inflatable snow globes that are on people's lawns. One of them that I saw was massive, and it had Mickey and Donald and Goofy riding around in a carousel with toques on in a snow globe. I was aghast. It was incredible. Saddest thing is when they're deflated, they're all lying on the grass. It's like the sights of Christmas, but not just the sights that you see, your favorite sights or the sights that are new to you, but the lights. The lights, especially at night when it's a windless, star-filled night, and you can walk along or drive along and see the beautiful display people have put up. I was walking with my dog this morning, we walked by, I forget what street it was, but as we were walking along, they had a sign in the front lawn, tune to 107.1, and listen to the display. So I pushed the button and listened to the display. It's like, wow, this is incredible. I have to come back at night when I can see all the lights and see what it actually does. The lights that are around us. And perhaps as you think about the sights and the lights at Christmas time, at some point you will be singing along with Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year. With kids jingle belling and everyone telling you, be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, and you'll hum along about happy parties that you go to, caroling out in the snow, and you'll sing Andy Williams lyrics, Tales of Long, Long Ago. As you sing this song, perhaps you'll reflect on the fact that Christmas is a big tradition. You can go back years. In fact, you can go back 1,000 years to the first time Christmas was coined. You can go back another 700 years to the first time Christmas was celebrated on the 25th of December. And you can go all the way back to the beginning. And if you want to this year, in fact, I'll challenge you to or invite you to go all the way back to the beginning. And go all the way back to the beginning. If you want to pick up one of these, you're welcome to do so, or you can work through it yourself. This is a chronological Christmas reading, and all I've done is I've taken all of the texts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels, and aligned them as best I could chronologically. So we have the introduction, which we talked about last week, and we have the setting just before the grand event, and we have the celebration itself, the pinnacle. And we have the infancy, and we have the family postscript, what I've called. If you want to get one of these, they're on the welcome table on the way out. But I'll challenge you this Christmas to read through the Christmas story, the whole of it. Sometimes we just take it in 2 or 3 verse segments. Read it all. What you discover will be between you and the Holy Spirit. What you read will be parts of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. The four Gospels. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you can turn to Matthew 1 and Luke 1. When we look at these texts, there's many sights and there's many lights and there are many fights in the Christmas story. We're going to take a look at them today. I'll put up on the screen here the first text we're going to look at. But some of the sights of Christmas is angelic announcements. Wow, what a sight. Imagine it. Miraculous births. Shepherds that are overwhelmed by the night sky. Magi that have been traveling for almost 2 years because they're following a star predicted by Daniel. The birth of Christ, that is. You'll see in the sights of Christmas, Roman Empire census and taxation, and worse than that, a crazy king's infanticide of young boys. I read about dove sacrifice, which is the redemptive price so that Mary and Joseph get to keep Jesus. Interesting sights. This morning, I thought we would start off in Luke 1. We're going to look at, here's Andy Williams right here. In Luke 1, we're going to read this together. Now, there's going to be a lot of scripture today, but it's a story. So I hope you'll bear with that. And I hope that we can read this together when it comes up on the screen. Let's read this together so that we can absorb this truth about Christmas. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Zechariah and his wife were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless and both very old. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will bring many back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." First scene we see is of a priest, an old priest that goes to the temple to do his duty in the temple. And when he goes there, he goes to burn incense. And when he's burning incense, you see from the story that an angel shocked him. But this announcement that the angel's bringing has a parallel account. I want us to look at it before we go on. This is the parallel account, or not a parallel account, but a similar account that 6 months later, this happened. If you'll read with me, Luke 1:26, "God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Phenomenal sights. In one family, you see, Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. In one family. One part of the family, as we see in this first section, lived in Jerusalem. In fact, he was a priest, Zechariah was. And this priest, as he worked in the temple, saw the angel. And the angel introduces himself to Zechariah and says, "I'm Gabriel, and I stand in God's presence." And Zechariah is told, "You'll have a great son." Same thing happens to Mary when we see in Luke 26. The angel shows up. It's Gabriel, we're told. God sends Gabriel to Nazareth 6 months later. He meets her. It doesn't tell us where he meets her, but he meets her, and he says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You will have a great son. You will conceive and give birth to a son. He will be great." Great sons. Two announcements. John and Jesus had pre-announcements that they were to be born before they were to be conceived. They were both great in the sight of God. When we see with Zechariah, the angel tells Zechariah what this son of his will do. Doesn't tell him his occupation. Doesn't tell him how much money he'll make. He tells him what he'll do and prophesies that he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Verse 16. And he'll go on in before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah. You see, John's coming along, and it says here, he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Then to Mary, Gabriel comes and says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Your son will be called the Son of God. Mary knows, as she's no doubt the one who told Luke this story. Mary knows that it was no man that was the father of her child. She knows. What's interesting about these two accounts, to me, one of the sights here is that Zechariah and Mary are both afraid, startled, filled with fear. They don't know what's going on here. They're scared. To both Zechariah and to Mary, Gabriel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Zechariah is actually upstaged by Mary at this point. Because just a few moments later, Zechariah says, I don't believe you. He has the audacity to say, how will I know? How can I be sure? Gabriel says, oh, wait a minute here. I'm an angel speaking to you about something that you've not been able to have happen in your life, and it will happen between you and your wife. And you're going to question me. Angel, he's in the temple. You would think that he would maybe have expectations that an angel would be there. Presence of God. He says, oh, I'm not sure. So he says, okay. You're not going to say be able to say one word until this baby's born. He's rendered mute for 9 months. I'm not sure what Elizabeth thought about him being mute for 9 months was like. Mary comes over and visits. There's Zechariah sitting on the couch. Can't even help out. He hears me. I know he hears me. He just can't respond. Zechariah says, I'm not sure. Then Gabriel says, okay, I have the power of God to make you mute for 9 months. Mary, this young virgin who's not in Jerusalem, not part of the priestly family, who knows what she's doing. But when the angel shows up for her, she asks one clarifying question. How will this be since I'm a virgin? Gabriel tells him. And what's just a little further in the text is Mary says, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be done as you say. Mary yields right away. Okay, God, this is what you want. Let it happen. Well, the sights that we see here is the arrival of angels to say everything's going to change forever in your lives. And people will talk about you forever. When you're looking at the lights, seeing all the sights of Christmas, walking through the mall and seeing the way that everything's dressed up, perhaps you'll be singing with Bing Crosby. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And as you continue to walk along in that beautiful sight, hearing Bing Crosby sing, you'll no doubt be tempted to sing along. Strings of street lights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Why is it that at Christmas time the lights seem to blink in a different way? Traffic lights, Bing? Come on. Why is it the lights seem to be different at Christmas? Why? What's in the air at Christmas? Well, Luke tells us some of what this family, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph, experienced. Because it says, as Luke follows along and says, this is what happened when the baby was born. If you'll read with me, please. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And another man comes along. This is Jesus' disciple. As Jesus' disciple reflects on these things, no doubt has heard from families of Jesus, family members of Jesus. As he reflects on this, he's a little bit more philosophical. And John helps us out here, and if you'll read with me, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John, Jesus' disciple, reflects on John the Baptist. John the Baptizer, who was Jesus' cousin. John was born. Zechariah the priest and Elizabeth had their baby. And Luke 1 says this, the neighbors, Zechariah and Elizabeth's neighbors, friends, and family were filled with awe. And throughout the land, the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone who heard about this, Zechariah and Elizabeth having a baby, that is, asked, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Zechariah and Elizabeth and John were famous. In fact, John throughout his life had people following him because he was a prophet, a great prophet. All throughout the land, people knew him as a prophet. Baptized people to help them in their repentance before God. You can read about the experiences of John the Baptist. Zechariah, when John is born, has his tongue loosened. His mouth can speak. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, he says this. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation, how to be saved, through the forgiveness of sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Jesus is the light. Zechariah is here saying Jesus from heaven is our light to show us how to be forgiven, how to be saved, how to overcome death, to be peaceful. John, the disciple of Jesus, James' brother, the son of Zebedee, reflects on it. Why did the light come? Well, the light came, as he says, so that we may believe. True light, that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus was the light, but in the Gospels, Jesus didn't receive near the reception that John did in terms of accepting him in his role. Lots of people, thousands follow Jesus. But Jesus had such a profound brilliance to his message that many people struggled with it. Everyone was looking for the light. Everybody was looking for a way to get out of their darkness. Aren't you? Aren't I not wanting light in my darkness? John would come to show people the way. But little did this family know of the fights that were coming. You see, Christmas is about sights and about lights. Let's face it. Sometime in the next 25 to 30 days, you're going to have a fight within you about the wrong gift. got the wrong gift. Missed a party. Too long at a party. Someone said something that you didn't like. At some point in the next month, you're going to have conflict right here. So am I. And you're going to have conflict out here, too. The squash was overdone. Marshmallows got too melted. Turkey too cold. Turkey too hot. You know what's going to happen. Because the strange thing about Christmas is that although we yearn for the perfect Christmas, although we yearn for everything to be great, even the first Christmas didn't come to eradicate all evil. I wish it did, but maybe we wouldn't exist. The first Christmas had conflict in it. And so will ours. I have to know how to deal with the sights and the lights and the fights that we experience at Christmas. Let's just take a look at the text. Matthew 1:28, if you'll read this text as well with me. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. After he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." You see the conflict there? Joseph didn't have the opportunity, similar to Elizabeth, to experience the angel's announcement ahead of time. I don't know why that is. But the angel does come back. Angel comes back to Joseph. Because Joseph, you can see the conflict in the story, when they discovered her pregnant. And you think about, was it a family member? Was it her parents? Why did she go off to see Elizabeth anyways for 6 months? It happened. What happened? The shame happened. Mary was pregnant. She was supposed to be getting married. That's a problem. She has a story about an angel. Joseph found out. It says so. She was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But that's not what Joseph thinks. Joseph was righteous. You see, Joseph had a sense of this is what is right before God. And so what his perspective? Well, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. You know what that was? If you expose Mary to public disgrace, she could be stoned. She committed adultery. Think of the woman that was caught in adultery with Jesus. They were gathered around her with stones in their hand. He didn't want to expose her to public disgrace because he was righteous and he was merciful. Instead, he didn't want to be part of this. So he just had a mind to divorce her quietly. Let's just go to Justice of the Peace and call off this wedding. Get the dowry back. All will be fine. You wonder how far Joseph went. Did he do up the papers? Did he talk to Mary's dad? How far along had he been before the angel showed up? Because here's the angel showing up and saying, "Hold on, you're going to mess this up." And the story forever is going to say, "Eric became the dad and not you." Don't screw it up, Joseph. You're chosen. Chosen to be the adopted dad. And the angel says, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what's conceived of her, she's telling the truth. She's a virgin and she's pregnant." There's other conflict in the Christmas story when you read it. I'll let you experience. But Joseph from this night on would have his righteousness, would have his standing in the community, would have his life, would have his business forever changed because he was selected to be Mary's husband. Forever. You can track that as you see where they go. Why was Mary taken to Bethlehem to pay Joseph's taxes? What happened when they came back from Egypt? Back in Nazareth, people still knew them. Oh, there's that Mary. There was conflict in the first Christmas. He wants to be righteous. All through the Gospels, conflict comes. You know, I know in your mind and mine, we like those Christmas stories that everything ends well, everyone's happy, we all sing the Wahoo Chorus together. That's coming, but not yet. And there's still conflict, and you'll still face the conflict. Oh yes, you'll see the lights, and you'll see the sights, and you'll experience the fights of Christmas. Just like the first family did. Enjoy it. The fights? Enjoy being in relationship with people and working through in yourself the truth about the fact that Jesus came so mercifully that he allowed the tares and the wheat to grow together. In other words, he allows us to work it out in our lives even when we don't like it. He allows us to enjoy a turkey dinner even though we have heartburn afterwards. Enjoy it. And enjoy what you receive from Christmas, but also enjoy the fact that Jesus Christ thinks you capable to work through the struggles and to do it well. And to eventually, I know I'm in the same position. The fights and the struggles that I go through at Christmas, do I handle them perfectly? No. I hope that year over year I'm handling them better, seeking God to help me through this. We see the sights and the lights and the fights at Christmas. The truth then, truth is, in all of this, when you really get back to the heart of Christmas, it's not my story. It's not your story. It's not been crafted by Andy Williams or Bing Crosby or Dr. Grint or Dr. Seuss. This is God's story. He's telling it to us. So you can sing, as we'll sing in just a couple of minutes. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Praise be to God for his awesome love. Gloria to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. It's God's story. We're here to celebrate it. I hope that you will read through the Christmas story as however you can, and that we can help you out with that.